honor your pastor today, I decided to wear my jacket. And also, I did something a little bit more unusual that, well, it's not unusual for me, but it might be unusual for many of you, and that is, I wrote my notes for this sermon with my fountain pen. I did, honestly. And so, yeah, you know, it's different. I'd like you to think about something for a minute. How many of you grew up in a home with a telephone? Raise your hand. Okay, for those of you on Zoom, I think everybody has their hand raised. How many of you today have a telephone? Okay, almost everybody. How many have internet? Good. Again, almost everybody. How many of you have worked at a place or have at home a panic button that you can press, and as soon as you press it, help comes? A couple people. Okay, good. These are all modern day symbols of something that I call access. Access. And for these types of services, we pay good money. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands about how much you pay for internet and phone, but I think Kathy and I pay, I think we pay at least $60 a month for internet and phones. I wouldn't be surprised if many of you pay the same or maybe even more, especially if you get cable bundled in with that. Well, the Gospel of Mark has two really interesting places that talk about access. And these are two places that I often break open for new believers, for people just going into ministry in Bosnia. And I wanted to break them open for you this morning. And the first one is in chapter 1. And this is very Trinitarian. It's chapter 1, starting in verse 9. I hear you guys getting your Bibles. That's great. Mark chapter 1, verse 9. Goes like this. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." It says here, this is a really good translation. This is the English Standard Version. And the version in which Pastor read last week, the Christian Standard Bible, also is a good translation because they both use this verb to describe what happened to the heavens. It uses the verb torn. He saw the heavens torn open, and the Spirit descended on him like a dove. I believe that this is, in one way, going back to, I believe it's the prophet Isaiah, where the prophet says, "Oh, won't you rend the heavens and come down?" And it's out of anguish. The people of God are crying out to God, "We need you to intervene." Imagining that God is way up there, transcendent, and that he could just tear the heavens open and come down and set everything right. And I think Mark is saying that with Jesus' baptism, this is beginning to happen. That the heavens are opened to earth. I think the word torn is also important for another reason. It's not like Jesus saw the clouds opening, the dove came down, and then the clouds closing back again. The word torn is much more violent. And it gives us an idea that once this act is done, things won't be the same afterwards. It's not like a opening and closing a button, or opening and closing a door, or opening and closing a zipper, where the things return to the way they were. When you tear something open, it's never the same again. And so, when the Holy Spirit came and descended powerfully on Jesus, I believe one of the significant aspects of that is, by the heavens being torn, what it means is the home of the Holy Spirit is no longer in heaven. The home of the Holy Spirit is permanently on earth. Coming first powerfully and filling Jesus, and then after Jesus' death and resurrection, remember in the Gospel of John, he promised his disciples, it's good that I go, because when I go, I will send the gift that was promised you, the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus comes, he's full of the Holy Spirit, and then he returns to the Father after paying the price for us on the cross and sends the Holy Spirit back, because this is where Holy Spirit lives and works. Before, in the incarnate, enfleshed body of Christ in Jesus, and now in the enfleshed body of Christ, his church. When we have interns come to Bosnia Herzegovina, my job, one of my jobs, is to help them learn the culture. And I take them to different churches, different places of worship, so they get an idea of the other manifestations of religion we have in Bosnia Herzegovina. For us, the main manifestations are Islam, Serbian Orthodox Christianity, and Roman Catholic Christianity. And one day, and we also have a small smattering still of people that embrace Judaism, but very small, because most of them left or were killed during World War II. And so I took our intern to the Orthodox Church. And when you come into the Orthodox Church, the old Orthodox Church in Sarajevo is about 1,000 years old. It's really old. And when you go upstairs, they have a number of different, it looks like a raised table, almost like this pulpit. But it's a glass case, and inside there's a little artifact. And it's usually in gold, or maybe velvet embroidered with gold and silver trim, depending on which one I'm looking at. One of them is a little piece of a skull, a human skull. Another one is a forearm, a piece of a forearm, and it's encased in silver that looks like a hand. And when you ask, well, what are these? And they'll say, well, the forearm is the relic of Saint Petka. And Saint Petka was the first female martyr in the church. I didn't know that. Did you know that? So after we finished our tour, we were in the little museum gift shop bookstore at the Orthodox Church. And there you can buy icons, you can buy candles, you can buy incense, and you can also buy New Testaments. And so I was explaining to our intern some other things about the faith, and the woman overheard me. And she said, in the Serbian language, please tell her that we have shrines in there. Did you see the shrines? And I said, yes, we saw the shrines. Did you tell her that if anybody's sick, if anybody has a need, you just put a coin on the shrine and you walk around it six times and the saint will grant your prayer? If you go across the river to Sveti Ante's, that's St. Anthony's. That's a Franciscan church. And There's a huge tradition in Catholicism that if you lose something, the saint that you pray to is Saint Anthony. If you pray to Saint Anthony, he will help you find what you've lost. And that tradition really bothers me. I know a dear woman who's now with the Lord. When she was a non-believer, during the time of Yugoslavia, she worked for the petroleum company in the commercial office, where people who drove trucks commercially would come and buy coupons for gasoline. See, in Yugoslavia, everybody could buy gasoline, but people that used gasoline commercially were entitled to more, so they could get more coupons, and just people going on vacation would only get less, so they would get fewer coupons. Well, one Friday, she was counting out her drawer, and she realized that she was off by a significant amount. She was short a significant amount. She called her supervisor, and she was really worried. And the supervisor said to her, she said, "Mila, I don't have to turn in the books until first thing Monday morning. So this is what you should do. This weekend, pray to Saint Anthony that you will find those coupons. And let's wait till Monday and see what happens." Well, she did. She prayed all weekend. Never heard of that before, but she did faithfully, asking Saint Anthony to help her find her coupons. The next Monday, when she got to work, they still were not found, but there was an impatient person waiting outside the doors, waiting for them to be unlocked. And as soon as they unlocked the doors, he came right up to her counter and said, "Oh, Tete Mila, forgive me. When I got home and I counted my coupons, you gave me too many. Here are your coupons back." And she said to me, "From that day until the day that she received Christ, every Tuesday she fasted and prayed to Saint Anthony because he answered her prayer." I was at Saint Anthony's Franciscan Church across the river from the Serbian Orthodox Church, and there's a statue of Saint Anthony outside. And once in a while, I go in the bookstore and see if there's anything interesting there to read. Like Christian bookstores here, there's good stuff and there's not so good stuff. But I stopped in, I was looking around, and the lady behind the counter said, "We have a statue to Saint Anthony outside. On Tuesdays, more Muslims light a candle at that statue than Catholics do. Can you believe it?" And unfortunately, I can believe it, because people are very suspicious. If you go a few blocks to the Catholic Cathedral in Sarajevo, when you walk up the big stairs and you walk into the sanctuary, to the left is the grave of the first bishop of Sarajevo, Bishop Strossmayer, the one who erected the cathedral. And all around his tomb are plaques that say, "Thank you, Bishop Strossmayer, for answering our prayers." And there's dozens of them. And when you look at his tomb, there's a big cover for the sarcophagus in the floor. And then right next to it, there's a little box on a pedestal with a coin slot. So you can slip in a coin and then ask the Bishop Strossmayer to answer your prayers, or some would say not to answer your prayers, but to pass them along to one who can, if you will. And so this is a very common event in Bosnia-Herzegovina, a very common part of life for pious people. Part of the way they're brought up is you, as an individual, have no right to come into the presence of God. But these people have proven themselves in some way, these saints, and they do come in to God's presence. So pass on your requests through them. I could go on and on and talk about the Mary cult throughout the world, where she has, in the eyes of many, many pious people, replaced the place of Jesus as the one who grants favor. But Jesus, at his baptism, The heavens are torn and the Holy Spirit is poured out on the earth. And the Holy Spirit has stayed here. And the things that Jesus tells us about the Holy Spirit, the things that the New Testament tells us about the Holy Spirit and the life of the believer, the main thing I come down to is this: God himself takes up residence in us. We are the home, or the homes, I should say, of the Holy Spirit, along with our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. And so we have God himself living in us. So we always have access to the Father. He's not far away. He's right here. And even Paul tells us, when we don't know how to pray, when things are so desperate that we don't even know what word to say to God, that Holy Spirit is interceding from within us to the Father in heaven with groanings that we can't even utter. The second place that I wanted to call out in Mark, which I teach about often in Bosnia, is in toward the end, in the 15th chapter. Starting in verse 33, it says, "And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the..." I'm sorry, let me say that once more. Mark 15, starting in 33. Mark 15, starting in 33. I'm conscious about the time and I want to hurry, but at the same time I need to be polite and let you get find your spot. "And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?' And some of the bystanders hearing it said, 'Behold, he is calling Elijah.' And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, 'Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down.' And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, 'Truly, this man was the Son of God.'" Now, I mentioned the first event was a very Trinitarian event. You have the Father saying, "This is my Son." You have the Spirit himself descending on Jesus. And of course, Jesus the Son is there as well. Here, we have him breathing his last, which could be a sign of the Holy Spirit leaving him as well. But we don't have the voice of God. What do we have here? The voice of a centurion. But what does he say? He is agreeing with the voice of God in the first event. "This is the Son of God." And I believe that the tearing of this curtain in the temple from top to bottom is a very powerful symbol for every one of us, because the Holy of Holies was the place that the temple divided from the rest of the world. Only the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies, and that once a year on the Day of Atonement. But when Jesus dies, the veil is torn. So what it means is the very Holy of Holies of God is breaking forth into the world. And so we see in the Old Testament, God calling out the people of Israel to be separate and to separate themselves from the rest of the world in many specific ways. And then on the Temple Mount itself, you had a place for where everybody could come to pray as long as they were ritually clean, then a place where only the men could come and pray, and then a place where only Jewish men could come and pray, and then the place where only the priests could be, and then the Holy of Holies where only the high priest could be, and that only once a year. So if you use the temple as a model of the Old Testament and the message of the Old Testament message is come out and be separate and be sanctified. But if you use this tearing of the veil of the temple to be the message and the model of the new covenant, the message is go into all the world and make it a place holy and dedicated to me. And so you see the first Christians. Where do they worship? Well, they still go to the temple for prayer, but they also have table fellowship in their homes. And they enjoy fellowship together with one another. And then we see that from Jerusalem, it spreads to the end of the earth. Our mission is unfinished. It's the mission that Jesus started when the Holy Spirit descended on him. And it continues with us, so that not just the centurion, but everyone has a chance to come to the realization of who Jesus is, that he is the Son of God. And that he paid for our access to God with his own blood, with his own death on the cross. Remember at the beginning, I had you think about different ways that you're connected, internet and phone and other things. And I asked you, you know, how much do you pay for that? Well, the greatest access of all, access to our very Creator, was paid by the Son, Jesus Christ himself. And we can enjoy that access. And we can bring Jesus' sanctifying presence into the world around us and help his kingdom to grow and make the world a better place as we serve him, as we obey him, as we love him. And so that's how I see these two events in the book of Mark being very foundational for who we are as the church, who we are as a mission sending organization, and who we are as brothers and sisters, as children of God. The same words that God says to Jesus, "With you I am well pleased," when we become in Christ through faith, trusting him, those same words are spoken to us by the Father. And the Holy Spirit is given to us, and the Holy Spirit himself confirms those words to us. How many of you, like me, have disobeyed? You know you disobeyed God. You know that you've sinned, but the Holy Spirit within you is calling you to come back and just confess your sin to the Father. Instead of condemning you, as the evil one would do, the Holy Spirit is calling you to repentance and saying, come back to the Father. Jesus has paid for that too. Come. So this access we have, it's not cheap. It was given to us by Jesus Christ. It was made possible by his shed blood. But it's one that we enjoy. And it's part of our message. It's part of who we are. It's our DNA as brothers and sisters in Christ. And I thank you for being Jesus' representatives here and making this part of Central New York more and more like God's kingdom. And I thank you for allowing and making it possible for Kathy and I to go and help do the same thing in Bosnia-Herzegovina. Once again, thank you.